Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, Daily News. I'm here with my fellas, Duke and Mailman. How y'all doing today, boys?
What up?
What's up, everybody? We good. Let's get it started.
Yeah, we got a couple topics that are near and dear to us. The first topic comes from TikTok. There's a video that I stumbled upon. It's about this young gentleman who is a barber. He goes out to the park and he just gives out free haircut, and he just does it for a conversation. The idea that he can get knowledge from people who are just living their daily lives that will have conversations with him, spark conversations about life, politics, whatever the case may be. And he stumbles upon this one gentleman who does not want a haircut. My man's bald, obviously. He asks to touch his beard. For our listeners, if a man has a long beard and no hair, don't be messing with his shit without asking him. Okay. Don't be touching it. Conversation starts off rocky, but I think it's a very enlightening one. I wanna
play the clip.
Yeah, I wanna get y'all to listen to it, and I wanna get the fellas input on this. Here we go.
What's going on out here, G?
Man, shoot, looking for somebody to give a free haircut to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got some time?
Why you gonna give a free one?
I want to see what you got going on. I just want to have a conversation. That's it. Let's chop it up. I'm from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
From here?
From Atlanta?
Yeah.
That's hard. And if you used to be in the Ville?
Yeah.
Should I come out here one time a day and try to give a stranger a free cut, man, and have a conversation? That might move somebody.
Yeah, that just move people along. Just come see somebody doing their thing.
You know, I took upon some responsibility to share the knowledge I've been given at a young age on my social media to try to be a positive impact.
What's social media shit?
Vic Blends. Remember me asking how old you are?
46.
So I'm 22. If you go back to 22, what would you tell yourself?
Don't beat yourself up.
Why you say that?
Because, my nigga, you ain't gonna accomplish shit overnight. You wanna be the goddamn Z, but you gotta go through A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, so you gotta go through the steps. Don't beat yourself up for being that G when you want to get the Z. Because you beat yourself up, you ain't never gonna get there. You want to be there. You wish you'd have been there a long time ago, but you know what I'm saying? Beating yourself up take you longer.
What you think the most important part of the journey is?
Every step up, join it. Find the laughter in it. Find the joy in it. Don't trip off the pain of it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's gonna be painful. Love that shit. Find something to love in every moment. Find some humor in it. Find some joy in it. That's what's gonna help you get through it. You know what I'm saying? And it's there. But if you're too busy focusing on this shit, then you ain't gonna see the shit you really need to be looking at. What advice would you give yourself?
I think I would have told myself to focus on the time I had today. Sometimes I'm so focused on trying to be a winner and I want to be successful that I'm thinking about people that's got shit that I want that's been doing it for 10 years.
You can't compare yourself.
But that take away from my experience of me enjoying the time I got now. Life is short. You know, even when I first started cutting, doing my thing, I wish I would have took more time appreciating those small moments then instead of trying to focus so much on being in the future and trying to be some shit on social media that I saw every day. I wish I would have really took the time to spend more time with my family. So my dad told me one day, man, he was like, yo, you got the rest of your life to work. As soon as you graduate high school, that's it, man. Your life about to take off. So the time you got now with your family that had no responsibility, you got to enjoy that. Because you ain't got to have the shit figured out overnight because we see somebody else on social media got that shit figured out overnight.
Kanye West said it best. Money ain't everything, but not having it is. But he had to have money and lose money to understand that it really ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? Your family, that shit real. You can replace money.
But that's the thing is, a lot of the times, we think the money, we think the jewelry, we think the cars is what's going to fulfill us. God will laugh at you when you pray for them things and say, here, I give it to you. Boom. You get it, and you realize it ain't as fulfilling as you thought it was going to be, man. There's more to life than just sitting around trying to chase bread all day. Where you get your energy from, man?
Life, love, you know what I'm saying? God, everything living is God. You know, that's the only thing getting me up.
I appreciate your energy. I needed that.
Yeah.
Look, I ain't cutting nobody, but hey, look, this is worth all the waiting. I come out here every day, and I get 1,000 no's. I'm like, man, I'm telling you, there's going to be somebody out here that was waiting for us. I think this timing is divine. And I think God will place the right people in your life.
Always. You know what I'm saying? We talk to them every moment. It's a blessing from God.
Thank you.
Jack Mensa. Nice to meet you.
Pleasure, bro.
Woo, a lot to digest there. What y'all, what do my fellas think of that? I'll let y'all go first.
All right, well, I'll go first on this. Plain and simple, OG do what OGs do. He hit young man with some info, with some knowledge. He was seeking it, so he gave it to him. That simple. The message is beautiful. Like he said, you want to go from A to Z. You want to get to Z before you do all the other steps. You got to take your time. You can't rush things. You got to let things happen the way that they're supposed to happen. And if you do happen to stumble, pick your ass back up and continue on.
Now, to me, that kind of spoke on to, like, we have fallen into a mentality whereas you feel like you can't even have a conversation without somebody, without them feeling like what's in it for them. That was the first thing that spoke out to me. The second thing was, he said, the gentleman said, don't beat yourself up. He said, you're not going to accomplish things overnight. And this goes to what Duke just said, too, about being patient. And I love that aspect of it. Just to add on to it, that your journey is your own and no one else's. So you're going to move at your own pace. And as long as you're moving forward, you'll get to your goal eventually. So don't let where you at in life deter you from your ultimate goal. And then he said something about every step of the journey being important. I like that aspect as well. And I look at every experience of life has some type of meaning to it. And I believe that a lot of times people fall into depression because they feel like, oh, well, you know, things are not happening for me the way I wish they were right now, or, you know, I mean, things like that. And, you know, his aspect and his take on it was, you know, find the joy in it, find the love in it, and things like that. And it kind of brought me to the saying that I heard from Bruce Lee. And then Bruce Lee was like, be like water. You know, you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a pot, it becomes the pot. Water can flow. Water can smooth out the rough edges on rocks. Water is powerful. Be like water. You know what I'm saying? And it speaks kind of to the adaptability of a person and being adaptable in, you know what I'm saying, any type of situation that you may encounter on your journey through life. Y'all ever seen the movie Kung Fu Panda with the old wise turtle?
He said
that's
Kung Fu Panda.
Hey, did I say this already? About the past is history, the future is a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why they call it the present.
No, you haven't said that, but I do remember that in the movie. Yeah,
I fucking love that saying, man. It speaks truth. Good life lesson and a good way to look at things. Like, if bad things happen to you in your life and in your past, then leave it in your past. You know, the future is a mystery. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. So ain't no use in trying to dwell on things that you don't even know what's going to freaking happen. But today is a gift. You're alive. You're breathing. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the fucking moment. You know what I mean?
The part that he was like, there's going to be some fuck ups. There's going to be shit that happens on you, but you can't dwell on it. Live life, love life. The ups and the, I just love the idea that we prime examples, all three of us, that we have been through some shit. And it is just a beautiful thing to be, yeah, I've been through some shit, but I don't really dwell on that. Right now, we're trying to move forward and we're trying to better ourselves. We're trying to use the stories and the experiences that we have in our life to touch other people. I think that's, man, that's just that was one of the things that spoke to me. And another thing that Duke said, this is a difference between OGs and some successful but egotistical people. A lot of people that find success aren't as open to just give out the information on how they got there. You know what I mean? I feel like one of our episodes we were talking about this, not obligation, but duty or willingness to help other people succeed and help them grow with the information that we've received. You know what I mean? Like the black tax, like, oh no, it's not that we feel obligated to, it's that we want to see the people that we came up with be happy and healthy just like we do. And this video shows that. This is just one guy who said, you're giving out free haircut. You just want to have a conversation. I have my knowledge and I'm willing to give it to you free of charge. I have no problem helping out the next generation. And like you say, he's 46. My man was 22 still. And then to do something like that and just chop it up with old heads or OGs, man, this kid's going to be a sage by the time he's 26.
Right.
I don't know if y'all ever talked about OG, man. In general, people who have been through life.
He just kind of stumbled upon that guy. And like, I really and truly, honestly believe that God places you where you need to be in life. And you know, I mean, no matter where you are, if you just starting a new job or in between jobs or something, you know what I mean? Anything like that, no matter where you are in life, you can always have an influence on someone else, be it positive or negative. Who knows? God may have put you there to teach somebody else something or for you to learn a lesson, and to happen to come upon each other and having that type of conversation, I think was beautiful.
Years ago, after my wife got diagnosed with cancer, I kind of switched fields. I actually got into the medical field because my thought process was, if she has to get cancer treatment here or at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio or at the medical center in New York or Seattle, wherever the case may be, if I get a job in the medical field, I will have a job anywhere in the country. That is my thought process and why I originally got into the medical field the way I did, right?
Right.
Okay. When I initially got into the medical field, I started off with my CNA. I started working. I got trained by this really old gentleman. He was not really old. He's like 50 years old, right? He's a CNA. He's been doing this shit for like 15, 20 years. He's career CNA. He ended up getting out of the field anyway. And he's talking to me, and he's talking to a patient, because anybody in the medical field knows you just have random conversations with patients about his third wife. And he's like telling the patient about his wives. First one divorced and the second one died of cancer. And so he's telling the patient this. And so I ask him, I'm like, hey, listen, it's 10 o'clock or it's 10:30. We're done our shift. I know you don't have much time. You got to get home. Can I ask you a question? He's like, yeah, sure. How did you deal with your second wife's death? Or knowing she was going to die? And the only reason I asked this is because at that point in time, we had already known, me and my wife, that this cancer was incurable. That at some point in time, her only options were to A, let this cancer take her life, or B,
be the fighter that she was.
She's going to fight until they find a cure. That was our two options. And we knew that early on in the fight. This was the first person I had ever met that's like, damn, he's been through this. What was it like? We talked for an hour and 45 minutes after shift. I didn't get home till like 1 o'clock in the morning. I was like, listen, I just had a really important conversation with a coworker. It was something I couldn't miss. He was like, okay, cool, fine, whatever. Okay. Fast forward, this where the hospital I work at now, this man, same man, broke his leg really bad and tore a ligament and tore some tendons in his leg. He is a patient. He recognizes me. He's like, hey, man, I remember you. I'm like, I remember you too. But I don't tell him why I had this conversation. Mm-hmm. He's in the hospital for like 2 weeks. And he comes up to me and says, hey, come here. Listen, I got to talk to you about something. I'm like, yeah, sure, what's up? He's like, one of your coworkers told me about your wife. And I didn't know when we had that conversation. Yeah, I know you didn't know. I just had this random conversation, but I never told him my story. And he was like, I know. I'm like, I got to be honest with you. That was like in November or December around Christmas. I was like literally at like the darkest point of this whole entire ordeal. And the stuff that you told me, the conversation that we had was just such a different type of mentality, and coming from someone who's lived through it, that it really touched me. It was probably one of the biggest things that made me go on to do and to be the man that I am today as far as dealing with that type of trauma. And right. He was like, yeah, I didn't realize how important that was at the moment. We don't realize the lives we touch with these stories. We don't realize how you can have a conversation with someone and that can change their entire outlook on life. He messaged me the other day. He's like, hey man, how you doing? Like, I'm good. How you doing? You want to get a drink? I'm like,
oh, y'all pen pals now?
We are pen pals. I told him, I'm like, I will get a drink with him anytime, any
nice.
Day.
Just, nice.
And it's just, man, it's just beautiful, man.
That is.
Duke, you kind of talked about how the conversation with the OG, did any of what happened kind of speak to you? Like any specific part of that conversation speak to you yourself?
Yeah, I'm the OG. My own mind to it. I done been through shit, so I done been through shit, so it's easy for me to help people and assist people when they in shit. Because I done been through it and been out of it. I done been, you know, put down. I done been picked up. I done did all that already. You know what I'm saying? So everything that the OG was telling them is something that I've told, if not one of y'all, to somebody else before. And before that, when I was in that situation, OGs told me the same shit. Now, whether or not I listened to it at that time, that might be a different story. Yeah, but at the end of the day, it all comes around full circle, and you like, damn, so-and-so told me this 5-10 years ago, and I just thought he was fucking crazy old dude. But no, he know what the fuck he was talking about. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just, and plus, another thing, too, that nobody really touched on, I think he's using the haircuts just to get people to open up to him. Because sometimes it's easier to talk to a stranger because they're going to give you that raw, uncut type of advice. Exactly, because they're not biased by nothing or anything like that. So sometimes it's easier to open up to a stranger, too. So I think that's what he's getting at as well, to get people to talk, because he can find things more out in a short period of time than somebody that might know whomever for 5, 10, 15 years sometimes. So, and it's always good to talk about things. It's never good, even though we all do it at some point in time, but it's never good to keep things inside. You need to find somebody to talk about, whether that be your mother, your brother, your sister, your cousin, you know what I'm saying, your fiance, your girl, your dude, whoever, or some complete ass stranger, you know, because you need to get it out somehow, some way.
Yeah, man. Barbershop conversation is sometimes the best conversation you can have, man. There's so much knowledge that, and he's not going to whisper shit in your ear. He's going to talk to you about it. And
I'll tell you right now, if a barber whispering some shit in my ear, he getting smacked. Right. Say that shit right now.
Like, we got problems. We got problems.
That's true. Like, no, that's true. It come up to
say
you.
That shit at the proper distance.
I like it even more without you in my ear, motherfucker.
Hey, have you ever seen that video where the guy is, for whatever reason, he's eating his hair comb, and the barber's like, he's like, that thing's tight, ain't it? What is? And the barber said he just combing his hair. And he's like, what'd you say?
Just creating an awkward situation.
No, nah, man, what'd you say? What I said was, hey, yo, man, what'd you say to me? Don't worry about it, player. We just gonna finish. Like, man, get the fuck off my head.
The fuck wrong with you? Oh, my fucking God. No, I didn't see that one.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, man. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Hey, everyone. As a parent, we all want to set our kids up for success any way we can. And that includes teaching them the value of earning, saving, and investing money, even at an early age. So when Duke introduced Mailman and I to the Greenlight card, it became something we were very intrigued in. The Greenlight card is a prepaid debit card designed to teach your kids about the fundamentals of personal finance. Using this app and card, kids can earn money through chores, set saving goals, spend wisely, and even invest. As a parent, you can set flexible goals and receive real-time alerts while your child is monitoring their own balance, setting goals for themselves, and learning how to manage their money. The app gives you complete control over your child's money by allowing you to set spending limits at specific stores. Plus, it has unique features like a savings account that earns parent-paid interest and an investing platform where your kids can invest in real time with your permission. Duke's been using this for a while. And
green light!
And Mailman and I are just signing up as well for our children, because setting them up for success is important. And we want to invite all our listeners to do the same. So if you have children and this is interesting to you and this speaks to you, please go to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and a Linktree page and find a green light link and sign up. We're excited to share this journey with you guys. And we also want to hear how it works out for you. So let us know.
And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to a second topic. We were just chopping it up, me and the fellas here. We had a night with drinks, and we were just talking about some habits that we've gotten from our family. And it was something that came up in our last podcast as well. Generational bad habits that are passed down. And how do we recognize them, or when did we recognize them? So I wanted to talk to the fellas about it, and we're just going to conversate on the podcast instead of us having a couple of drinks. What are Well, we having a couple of drinks anyway, so it is what it is. But what do you guys feel about some generational bad habits that you that are passed down, either stuff that you've experienced or stuff that you witnessed? This is something that happens a lot that we don't realize as adults that we kind of pick up on. I hate it when I hear stories like this happened to my dad, so this is how I feel. This happened to my mom, and so this is how I feel. That means that you are basing your issue with this situation off of another generation's life experiences. I can't sit here and say, as a person with one child, how easy it is to have kids to a person with 10. I can't sit there and say, oh, I'm a single father. This shit is extremely, extremely hard to a person that has, who also is dealing with this and saying, oh no, it was easy for me. It was fine. Everyone has different life experiences. We get that. We, as normal adults that look at each other as people of equal value, can sit there and say, your life experiences are yours, my life experiences are mine. But sometimes it's hard to see that from the generation that came before us. It's hard to sit there and say, mom, dad, aunt, uncle, your generation is yours. Your life experiences are yours. Mine are mine. They are separate. I hate that shit, man.
Well, like, you know what I'm saying? I've always asked this question. As a parent, the number one thing we tend to do is think about how society might damage our children. But we never think to what we as parents do to damage our children. You know, like you were saying, you know, your parents have their own life experiences as well that may have led them down the road in the path that they were on. But that's their path. That's their journey. And you can't hold their life experiences against them, you know what I mean, and take what they've done in their life personally and let it affect you and how you interact with other people or how you handle your relationships. If it was in something that was done in a negative manner.
Go ahead, dude.
That's that proactive and reactive thinking I've been talking about for a while now. The reactive thinking is, this is the situation that my parents put me in, so I'm going to wallow in this and I'm not going to make myself better. The proactive thinking is, okay, this is my starting point, but this ain't going to be where I end. I'm going to start from here, but I'm going to grow from here as well. That's the difference.
Right. Yeah.
Fucking right. So, it's a mentality. It's a conscious thought process that you have to make a choice.
Right.
But the problem with it is that we don't recognize that choice is available right up front.
It's like one of those things where it's like, you know, my mom wasn't the most affectionate while I was growing up, but I didn't take that as women are just unaffectionate to men. It was just that my mom was too busy trying to raise strong Black men by herself. She wasn't able to be overly affectionate because she had to, you know what I'm saying, instill that strong values in us being a female. That's not an easy thing to fucking do.
I struggle with this as a Black man with a biracial daughter. And there's a part of me that wants to, and my wife, God rest her soul, help me with this. There's a part of me that wants to prepare her for everything that she will experience as a Black woman, because, and I'm not saying
impossible.
You can't. And I'm so like hard on her. Like, and I was at early age, I was so hard on her. Like, no, this is going to happen. And you got to be tough enough to deal with this. And at the same token, there was my wife at the time that was like, yes, but she still is your daughter. She's not coming to you as a Black woman. She's coming to you as a girl needing her father in a time of need. You need to be there for her before you start teaching. Now's not the time for education. Now's the time for addressing her issue. Being there for her, then you can address the issue later on. And that is something I struggle with very, very strongly at first, because my daughter, when she first experienced her first experience with racism, as far as being judged by the color of her skin. And I'm not saying this because if there's any listener that's sitting here saying, oh, you raised your daughter to be Black. No, I raised my daughter to be who she is. I call her by her name. I said, she's like, well, daddy, you're brown. Mommy's white. I'm kind of in between. What race am I? You are who you are. Don't let anybody else, don't let us, who we are, define you. You are you, period. You're not black. You're not white. You're who you are. The sad part about this is society will define her as black. When she goes to school and she is one of five black people in her grade, they biracial, they will call her black because she's the darkest thing they see. There is a balance. You gotta educate her and have her prepared, but also be able to address her core issue. And that was a struggle for me. It was like, hey, listen, I know this happened to you, but right now you have feelings. And I just want to talk about your feelings and be there as a safe place for you to go to. That's tough. It's really tough to break that habit because as a woman that was white and raised in a family of people that don't have to deal with racism, that's all her. If she had a problem with school, she could go to her mom and dad would just be like, hey, man, listen, I get it. Let's hug it out. And I love you and everything's going to be okay. And me as a black man, I go to my family, like, yo, this happened to me. Can I get a hug? No, nigga, you better buckle up because this is life. You better tie your damn shoes and go handle your shit. I'm like, you know what I mean? So it's,
stop all that damn crying.
Right.
The fuck you crying for?
You see this a lot with women that raise, single women that raise kids, where they protect, especially girls, they protect the girls from being the stepping stone from all men. And at the same token, that's fine. And then there's some, I'm not saying all, not arguing all, but there's some that's like, I'm not going to let no man walk over me and tell me what to do or be some type of this, that, and the third. And I had these pre-perceived notations based off of generations of dating habits that I have from Forrest.
Well, that's where it comes in. You got to break the cycle. That's where it comes from. I've said this before as well. Listening to understand. That doesn't mean just from adult to adult. That means child to adult sometimes too. If you listen to your children to understand instead of thinking in your head, I done been through this already, so I already know what my answer is going to be, you will learn how to communicate with them better, especially all three of us. We have daughters. We don't know how to be women, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we have to listen to them when they're coming to us to ask us questions about things or have something to say. Yes, our first reaction is going to be, I'm your dad, I'm a man, I'm going to protect you. That's not what they need all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if they do need that, they may not need it in the way that we can provide it. We got to figure out the way that's going to be best for them and say it in a different light to where they know that we're hearing them and we're listening to them and we're there for them. And that's where it comes down to.
Yeah.
My mama told me one time, she said, you got two ears and one mouth, meaning you need to listen twice as much as you talk. And that's the only way you can actually get an understanding of things is if you, by listening. And with understanding comes acceptance. You can't accept something that you don't really understand. Mm-hmm. You can't understand things unless you actually listen to what is being said to you.
Let me tell you.
Whether you're an adult, whether you're a child, whether you're a child speaking to an adult, just like Duke said, you daily, have to listen.
Daily news with the stories again. Y'all ready for this?
No.
Hey, you go to hell.
Go ahead.
Do your thing, Lenny. A couple years ago,
I coached park before COVID and everything hit. I used to coach boys park and rec basketball, fifth and sixth grade boys. One of the keys to playing basketball, especially playing on the defensive end, is communication. You got to communicate what the offense is doing, got to talk to each other, especially when it comes to defending certain plays that offenses run, like the pick and roll. So, true story, I sat there and said, listen, we're going to defend the pick and roll because at your guys' age, that is going to, and throughout all your basketball career, that is the number one play you will see more than any other play in basketball. It's just a pick and roll. It is the basis of basketball. You got to know how to defend it. So we are going to learn strictly about communication. One of my players went home and he came the next practice. He said, coach, I need to tell you what happened. because my dad is pissed off at you. Well, your dad's never been to any of the practices. Everything okay? He's like, no, it's not. Because I came home and it was like, hey, what did you learn at practice? And I said, well, my coach taught us about communication and how important it is to be able to succeed. And my mom was like, yeah, at least one man in the house know about communication. And oh, my damn. Dad was pissed. I'm like, damn.
Oh, shit, you done got that man in trouble. I got his dad in trouble.
Oh, next game, I went to the sideline before the game. Was like, hey, listen, I apologize. I did not mean it.
No, fuck old, that. You should have to apologize.
Old Jimmy Jr. came over here and told me what happened. I didn't know she was going to do that. I didn't know he was going to say it like that. We learned defense. He said, I know. I was pissed, but he is right. Mm-hmm. That's just a
don't apologize.
Communication, right?
It's about listening. Teaching that kid a really good, valuable lesson.
So, fun fact, I joke about that story. Every time I coach, I'm like, hey, listen, from now on, for this practice, we're going to learn about communication and how to defend defenses. So when you go home, I want you to tell your parents how we learned about communication and how it is the key to success. And I want you to look at your dad's face and then come back next practice and tell me if he was happy or sad.
You would do some shit like that.
I'm an asshole. But
that's fucking awesome.
I'm an asshole. Shit was so fun when I coached girls, like my daughter and her team, because them girls, they talk. Girls are so much more in tune with everything that's going on in relationships. It was like, coach, you know, mommy told dad, she was like, must be nice. And he was like, well, you need to talk less. And it was just like, he was wrong. He was really wrong. I'm like, God damn, you was telling me everything. I didn't want to know about that. He's like, yeah. And then afterwards, I went to bed, and they were still arguing about communication. I was like, are your family okay? I ain't got to worry about, like, divorce. You got to worry about divorces and nothing like that. Y'all good, right? Like, yeah, they good. They got me cupcakes in the morning. That's not a good sign. I done fucked up marriage.
Oh, shit. Yeah. You didn't fuck it up. You just brought them demons to light.
Yeah, but you gotta address them. That's the point of it. We're gonna take a quick break, man. We'll be right back. And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast.
The next episode of Ratchet News. Let's get ratchet.
We not get ratchet. We responding to ratchet. Mailman and Duke is not ratchet. Let's establish that shit right now.
Hey, but like a little bit, it's obviously a little bit in us that like to doing this freaking ratchet topic.
Though. Exactly. You know what
I'm saying? We like that ratchet.
Let's go.
Okay. I feel like it's
insane.
I feel like
I think ratchet, you already know what my first question is going to be.
No, they are not from Florida. That's it. No, they are not you from Florida. No.
I don't think you're sure.
Yeah, I will find out. I'm going to find out exactly where everybody's from by the end of this episode.
So, I bet.
I feel like us being ratchet is like how people view bread. Moldy bread.
What?
Hear me out. There are some people that will take a slice of bread and be like, oh, this slice of bread has a piece of mold in it. Let me pull out the mold. The bread is fine.
Those are people of a certain persuasion.
Right.
A Caucasian persuasion. Right. Because right. I don't do that shit.
Now here's the thing. If you find one piece of mold in a whole loaf of bread, and
that whole loaf of bread is good,
is that bread moldy?
If yes, I find a piece of mold,
being thrown away. What are you right, talking exactly. about?
If I find one piece of molded bread and a loaf of bread, that whole fucking loaf is gone.
In the same thought process, because y'all have one piece of ratchet in y'all and me, we all ratchet. So stop acting like these motherfuckers. Okay.
Oh my god.
We ratchet. We just not as ratchet as the people we talking about. So
okay.
That depends on what version of Duke you're talking about exactly. and talking to. Because Duke in his 20s, that was a ratchet motherfucker. I ain't gonna lie.
Right.
I'm good so now.
Boy.
I tell you, boy. Shoot, my mama will whoop my ass if she know most of the shit I did when I was younger.
Oh my God, man. So I'm right there with you, Duke.
So we're gonna talk about this this case. I don't know if you guys have looked into it, heard about it. It's a situation with PJ Washington and Brittany Renner. I'm going to play the clip. Listen to it. We're going to talk about it.
So PJ Washington tweets this yesterday and the internet starts going crazy. If you don't know who PJ Washington is, he plays basketball. That's all you need to know in the NBA. He dates Brittany Renner. So he was faking it all along. Now, listen, I'm gonna show you why.
These people to deal with are the athletes. None of them use condoms, really. So if y'all really want to try to come up off a check off a man, I mean, you could just fucking athlete. They're really dumb.
So there's a lot of things here, right? So she says that, and then she goes and gets PJ Washington. Which is even crazier is that she was at his games when he was in Kentucky, right? Like, he had to be like 18, 19 at the time, and she had to be like 25, 26. So she is really plotting on my boy. Like, this is a real thing she was doing.
There was one time where I thought.
So just to give credit where credit's due, that is a video from my boy Justin Bobby X13. He's on TikTok. Long story short, to all listeners, Brittany Jenner is a social media, what do they call them? Influencer? Mm-hmm. Influencers, what they call them. Basically, yeah. She shows pictures of herself and flaunts herself on social media and then advertises stuff and makes money off of it. And Brittany Jenner has made a video about 2.5-3 years ago about dating an athlete, how she's dated multiple athletes, multiple celebrities. She's just made a living off of this lifestyle. So she follows PJ Washington in college, dates him, ends up getting married to PJ Washington, so you guys know, and has a child with him. As soon as the child is born, I'm not saying soon, like, oh, a couple years. I'm saying like maybe 2 months after the child is born, she divorces PJ Washington. She divorces him and collects a child support check of $200,000.
Yeah, damn.
PJ Washington is in his, not like 40, 50 years old. He's in his 20s. He's in his young 20s, like 20, 21, 22. He's a kid, okay? So at this moment in time, he can't see his son. What do you guys feel about this, right? It's very obvious that this, and please, to our listeners, look it up. Look up this information as far as what's going on with the situation. This is pretty.
Look, I don't condone violence or anything like that, but on the real, I just want to grab her and just shake the shit out of her because that's some bullshit right there.
Right, ain't it?
Like, that's some bullshit. Like, you hear stories and you know it's some women out there like that, but to actually hear it, that's something different, man. Like, I mean, that's.
She's giving women a bad name. Like, you know, when I think of a sexual predator, this bitch is coming to mind. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she literally stalked him in his college years, and then when he like, that's a sexual predator. Like, she literally preyed upon this young man. You know what I mean? And it's crazy to me is how, like, she's almost proud of it. She is proud of it.
And let me give our listeners an update. She is bragging about this. Yeah. She is current, and I'm not saying this video from 3 years ago before she even met PJ Washington. She is currently bragging about how her child does not see his dad, and she makes $200,000 a month from a guy.
I'm just like the audacity
of this bitch. You know what I'm saying? Tell myself, if you really want to come up on a check, just date a athlete, they dumb as fuck. Like, so you gonna degrade me, and for one, two, just use them, you know what I mean? And but to go to those lengths, you know what I mean, to be in a relationship with a guy, marry him, have his kid, and then it's all for a check, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is why, like, I really hate money. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I hate it. Like, money to me, I always have said this, it's the root of all evil. You know what I mean? The things that people will do and the lengths that they will go to, you know what I'm saying, for a bag, it's ridiculous, man. Like, to do that to another human being, like, that bitch's soul is dark as motherfucking night. I mean, if she has one, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's fucking, I can't, oh my God, I can't believe it. And then won't let him see his child. You done did all this shit to, you know what I'm saying, this guy, to manipulate him, preyed upon him, you know what I'm saying, and then have his kid, but then won't even let him see it. And I'm pretty sure this young man, that's all he wants is to see, at least be able to see his kid. I mean, well, shit, you paying 200 grand a month, you should at least be able to see the fucking child.
And that's actually what he's only asked for. If you
yeah, I think I saw something about that. Yeah, that's what he was pleading for. He just wants to see his kid. He don't give a fuck about her at this point. He just wants to see his kid.
I don't know if this one is so much of ratchet news as it's fucked up news is what this is.
No, this bitch is ratchet as fuck.
But
this is sad.
Yeah, this bitch is a fucking sexual predator. That's exactly what the fuck she is, man. Mm-hmm. Preying upon somebody like that. I ain't got no sympathy for that bitch. I hope everything bad in life happens to her.
Well, this is one of the dangers of social media, right? Yeah. She ain't got no fucking talent.
None.
She ain't got no job or nothing like that. Or her quote unquote, her job is social media. This is where it becomes dangerous because she got this bag because what, she look good? Because I'm sure that's how she got what she got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw the pictures.
It's all based off of her looks.
She's attractive. You know?
Go ahead.
I saw the pictures of her. Yeah, she is attractive, but you know what I'm saying? Knowing that that's the type of person she is, so ugly to me now.
Mm-hmm.
So ugly to me now. Like, you know, that shit's fucking crazy, man.
Now, to play devil's advocate, though, too, you can also say PJ Washington is to blame, too, because all he had to go off was how she looked, too. There had to be some, we done talked about signs, you know, in a couple different episodes now. There were some signs there. But again, that goes back to what we also said, 20-year-old. You know, exactly. You don't overlook those signs because you're gonna you know.
So
at the same token, I'm not gonna say he deserved this to that aspect, but at that same token, he invited that evil into his house.
I feel that. So he's set to make almost a little bit over $4 million this year and almost $6 million next year, which brings in the next 2 years. PJ Washington will make $10 million. Makes sense.
Hold on, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to pause you right quick.
Yep.
Did your ass really use a calculator to calculate 6 plus 4? Is that what the fuck you happened here?
Yeah, he did. I thought he was dividing it by, you know what I'm saying, was multiplying 200,000 by 12 months over 2 years. That's what I thought he was doing.
I love your ass, but what the fuck was that?
You ain't giving out prescriptions and doing no medications and shit where you work. Cause damn, somebody go overdose.
Y'all ever listen to someone call you out and you ain't got shit to say?
he was like, he gonna make $4 million this year. $6 million next year. Hold on, let me calculate that. I thought you were going to come with some more numbers. I'm about to say, okay,
that's what I thought. Like,
dividing the two, carrying the seven. I'm like, okay, this is going to come up. But then I was like, wait a minute, that's just 6 plus 4.
I thought he was trying to see how much the girl was going to make, you know what I'm saying? Over the last of a year.
I had to do both. Y'all go to hell. All right. Anyway.
Go ahead, proceed.
It's basically half of that motherfucking money she's taking.
It is. PJ Washington is set to make PJ Washington is set to make $10 million this year. She is set to make $4.8 million in the next 2 years. That is ridiculous. Here's my problem with this. It is not the fact, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, it's not the fact that he has to pay child support on a child that is his or whatever the case may be. Women have this false reality that there is nothing that a man can do to get out of child support. There is. My fear is, as we get older, things that were uncommon as we were younger become normal. My fear is that you will see more men going forward that see women like this that have children and that'll say, well, I'm just going to sign over all my parental rights. If he does that, one, he does not have any rights to his child, and two, he does not have to pay anything. Or if, God forbid, this becomes popular, that women are using men or children as paychecks with celebrities and athletes, this is going to be, I would hate for a world to have that as a reality. That's my personal fear.
I'm not sure that's ever going to happen, though, because if you do that as a man, that's just going to give him more of a reason to blame you for what happened.
But yeah. Think about this, though. She's actually not letting him see the child anyway, so he's not actually being able to be a father to his child anyway.
Right. Yeah, but, you know but hold on. Let me finish.
Go ahead. You know what I'm saying? So if he chose that as an option, I can understand why he did that. I can understand it. Now, that doesn't mean to say that he can't go a different route and go through legal paperwork and things like that to try to make it so that he actually gets visitation and he gets the child support reduced and things like that. There's other avenues that he could go through, but I can understand if he decided to go that route.
I definitely can. Go ahead, Duke.
So if you go that route, the child's still going to know that you are his or her dad. How are you going to explain yourself when that child asks you, why did you give up the rights to me? Yeah. How that's going to make you feel?
Yep.
I'm going to tell them the truth.
Because of their mom?
Don't give me
no. I'm gonna tell them the truth. I wouldn't make that decision. I wouldn't make that choice. You know what I'm saying? Like, not me personally.
This is an ugly.
So that's the part that I feel is going to hurt the child right there, because no matter what you're going to say, that's not going to be good enough for your kid.
And this is the difference in reality with men versus women as far as children, especially when it comes to situations like this. There's a responsibility that you have to tell your child the truth, but to be as transparent as you possibly can with their parent. There are men and women that don't like the child being around the parent specifically because they don't like the parent. This is different. She understands that this child means money to her. And PJ Washington, this isn't like some guy that's fucking around with everybody. This is a good kid. Right. You know what I mean? He wants to be a part of his child's life. He is a role player on an NBA team coming out of college. There is a highly possible chance that PJ Washington will wash out of the league in a few years. The money that he is making is only going to last but so long, and she's making $200,000 for 18 years. His career, whether he's successful or not, is not going to last up. That's the reality of it. PJ Washington and men like us will never make that call because we understand the ramifications and we care about them. We care about the ramifications of our children and how much that means to us. But there are people that don't. Let's be real. There are people that don't.
That's what I'm saying.
And they will take and just not care. And that is where I am frustrated. As much as we want to say, yes, as men, we care. And women, there are women listening to this and saying, I will never, ever see myself doing that to another man. But one did. I'm not saying all women do. I'm saying one did. We not about that life. I get it.
No.
We about bettering ourselves for our kids, bettering our kids' lives, and being as active as a father as much as we can be, but it's just sad, man. I hope, like, I hope
is the root of all evil.
Listen, I hope, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, I hope that the next person who dates Brittany Jenner has chlamydia and and herpes and gonorrhea and
syphilis
and
HIV
and COVID and everything that this bitch can get. And I hope she get it all at once. I'm not saying she dies. Not I saying guarantee that. That is a horrible thing. I hope she has a miserable next 2 years. Just as a side note, I would tell our listeners about how my wife, God rest her soul, slapped a handicapped man.
You're going to tell it.
Yeah.
Right. Buckle up.
As we know, when we all get drunk, some of our best friends, we can get into some random dumb arguments with. Me, Mailman, and Duke all went out with our ladies at the time, and we got into an argument. Unlike some men who fight about it or whatever the case may be, we separated from our ladies, we got together, and we said, Duke actually said it best, we're going to handle this now. We're going to talk about this because we've gone through too much shit to end something over a drunken night. So we just sat there and we talked about it. Then we're animated because we've been drinking. We're a little bit hydrated. And we look across the street at the intersection. My wife, Duke, and Mailman's women at the time are with her. And there's a man in a wheelchair talking to him. And my wife has that bent over look where your ass poked out and you like looking down at your kid, like, don't make me call your dad. You know what I'm saying? Be like, who the hell is she talking to? Like, where? What's going on? All of a sudden, we start talking again. I'm sorry. What the hell was that sound? We look over. There was a second one. Smack. I saw it. You slapped the handicapped man.
I saw the first one at the corner of my eye. I was like, what the fuck? I couldn't believe it. Then she did it again. I was like, oh my fuck.
Oh, shit. So we go over it. I completely ignore the man in the wheelchair because he is still in his wheelchair. She ain't slapped him over. I'm like,
you gonna beat up on the handicap.
I'm sorry. What the hell were you doing? Right. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Right. We're beating up on the candy cap.
Her exact response. No, he was talking shit about y'all. Oh, what, you with the dumb one? The little short, ugly one that's arguing? So don't talk. I was like, don't talk about my man like that. I don't give a damn if you're in bullshit. Oh, what? Because you with the asshole? Do not call my man an asshole. Oh, what you, or I'm going to slap the shit out of you. Oh, what? You mad I'm called an asshole? Why don't you take smack? Did you just slap me? What are you going to do, bitch? Slap them again. I was like, so much.
Gangster.
You can't. Listen, I was, and you know, I'm inebriated. I'm like, you did all that? She's like, yeah, I ain't going to let him just talk shit about you. I'm like, I love you. You going to hell. I love you. I do. I can't defend you from this. There's no way we could be like, explain this, and you'd be like, but he ain't had no legs. I can't justify this. I can't.
Hey, but the cool thing about it though was,
yeah, we had a conversation.
Yeah, the dude appreciated that though. He was like, man, I'm tired of everybody just, you know what I'm saying, letting things slide and let me be an asshole just because I'm in this wheelchair, you know what I'm saying? He was like, fuck that. If I'm being an asshole and shit, call me out on that being an asshole shit. Help, you gotta slap the shit out of me, do that too. Just because I'm in a wheelchair, don't give me a right to fucking be an asshole and to talk shit. I was like, damn.
Apparently, okay. He did this on purpose. He used to go down the street downtown on Friday and Saturday nights and just piss people off. And he was getting frustrated that a normal person would have already had something done to him. But that people didn't treat him like a normal human being because he was in a wheelchair. They treated him like handicapped. And he was like, it was the first time anyone was like, no, I don't give a damn if you're in a wheelchair, if you crawl in, or if you're in a casket. You talk shit about my man, I'm going to slap shit out of you.
Shit out of you.
Follow through with him. And he shook my hand afterwards. And was like, thank you. And he was like, I apologize. And, you know, I don't mean those things. I'm just so, and I was like, no, I totally get it. Let's go. And he was like, where y'all going? I'm like, I got to sprinkle her with holy water. Because your reasoning is not enough to get there. And like, yo.
Oh my God. That's most gangsta shit I've seen. I splashed it a little bit.
So can we let her in? Can we let her in?
I'll never forget that shit.
The life that we've lived, man. The life that we live.
Man, so, we could tell y'all some stories, boy. The shit that we the fucking went through.
And we got a couple episodes, so we will. But the PJ Washington, stay up. It's rough right now. It's rough. I hope to God, I know it's going to be expensive, but I hope that you spend every dime on every legal avenue, because you do, hopefully you do have an NBA career and you take this woman to court and you do everything you can to be a part of your son's life. I really do. I think what she's doing is disgusting.
Yes, that is some disgusting behavior.
And if you are listening to this and nothing works, please send us her address. I mean, you ain't gotta say, my nigga, you ain't got to say nothing else. We will handle shit for you. If you just wink, wink. That's all we need to know.
It's gang, just gang shit. Like this.
All we can do is raise our daughters to be better people, better human beings, and have a heart. So, to all our listeners, I don't know what episode this is offhand. I think it's like episode 12 or 13. Listen, we appreciate you guys. We just love you guys listening to us. We love the feedback we get in Carla, Dooley Baby, Bammer, Patrick.
That's Big Dude.
Big Dude, gangster.
Yep, Big Dude.
Yeah. Patrick, I said Carla, anybody who has ever commented on our stuff and reached out to us, we love you. We appreciate you. And if you listen to us at all, we know some of y'all listen to us and don't like us and comment us, and y'all just kind of stay in the background noise and just listen. Like, oh, we get it. We know you listen to us. We appreciate it.
I want to hear y'all feedback on, you know what I'm saying, like in comments, you know what I mean? We love to hear it.
We try to get to every one of Big Duel's comments, because Big Duel will be like, hey, listen, it's Monday. I'm going to send y'all seven topics.
All right.
Well, Carla did respond on our Facebook, yeah, too.
Yeah, I do appreciate Carla for responding to us. I love the fact that she appreciates the topics that we come up with. And I wish I could say this comes up from a source. It don't. We be conversating and be like, damn, that's a good topic. Let's just talk about that.
Yeah.
We do. Yeah. Mailman be like, hey, man, this happened to me today. I'm like, hey, shut up. I don't want to hear nothing about this until we report.
I know, right?
Right. That's literally how we be talking. So to my boys, Duke and Mailman, listen. Yeah.
And one last thing.
Yeah.
Stop doing the motherfucking milk crate challenge, please.
What is fucked up if you died and you had to go to heaven, but the stairs were made out of milk crates?
Exactly.
I saw that somewhere too.
Yeah. You saw that shit on my Facebook.
That's exactly where I saw it.
Duke and Mailman, love you guys. Wish you nothing but success and happiness. And to all listeners out there, y'all keep dreaming. Take care.